Howdy, folks. I am Wayne Ray. No, not that anyone cares, but that's my name. I've been here before, but I don't come around here too much because I'm up in Austin and San Antonio and places around. But tonight we're here. And I want to talk to you about tonight. It's about being born again, but it's not the whole thing's not about that. It's about the fact that there are three inheritances, and we're in one of them in heaven. We get heaven. David and Israel gets the land. And we're going to only read three passages about this, and the fact that he was a flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. And flesh and blood, as Paul tells us later on, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't go there like this. We have to go there in a different condition. And that condition is called, the process is called being born again. And I've read those passages in John and so forth about Jesus Christ telling Nicodemus about being born again and a man and so forth and so on. You know what? I never did consider the fact that Jesus Christ himself was actually talking about himself when he told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John about the kingdom of God and being born again. Jesus Christ could not go back to the Father and to the kingdom of God in the condition he was in on the earth before he was crucified and resurrected. It couldn't be. He had to be. His body had to. Something had to happen to him. First of all, it had to get rid of the blood. So he had to be born of water and of God the Father in heavenly places. So our blessings are in heavenly places. So, heavenly places. Okay. I said we had to be born again. Also, I didn't tell you a while ago that Jesus Christ is considered the first fruit. He's also considered the firstborn. We'll read about the first fruit coming up here in Corinthians later on. But the thing about the first fruit, or the firstborn, there ain't nobody else resurrected yet. It hasn't happened. Jesus Christ is the only one resurrected. Now, there are some special cases about translation and stuff in the back, okay? I don't know about that. If one of them saints back here, if you read the Old Testament, was translated or transfigured, I have no idea what that means. I don't know where they are. It just doesn't say. I haven't figured it out. But we have to be born again. It says that. So Jesus Christ is the first fruit. So after that, we, at his coming, will be born again. So then we're added to the fruit tree, so to speak. So our body shall be fashioned like unto what? Jesus Christ's glorious body. So we're going to have a body like his. Born again. Regenerated. All the same thing. Resurrected. Same process. Alright? Let's go to John and see what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus. We talked about a while ago. In John chapter 3. This is the only place you'll find this description of how to see it or how to get into it. This is the same Nicodemus that helped Joseph bury Jesus Christ's body at night. I mean, take it down and bury him, take care of the body. verse 1, John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did that apply to Jesus Christ too? Yes, it did. He's talking about himself there also. Not just you and me, not just a man. Jesus Christ was a man on the earth. He died. So he had to be resurrected. Nicodemus in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So unless you and I are born of water and of the Spirit, we cannot see Jesus Christ. Can't be done. Because he's in the kingdom of God. He's going to come down someday and get us out of here. And this process has to be fulfilled. This is what we have to go through. Just like all the other dispensations, we have to go through it too. We're no different. Because we're human beings. Okay. As a reference, if you want to put it down, Luke chapter, so we're not going to go there. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21 are a cross-reference to John 1 to 3. Because the reason is it says it comes without observation. So we're not going to go there and read that and talk about it. Luke 17, 20, 21. That's a cross-reference. I don't know if your Bible has it in any reference or not. And he said you had to be born in verses 4 to 8. He said you had to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ was born of water and of the Spirit, and he entered into the kingdom of God. So how all that happened? Well, it includes something called baptism. You have to be baptized in order to go see the Lord. And let's look at Matthew chapter 3. There are some other accounts of Jesus Christ being baptized, but I particularly like this one. And so we'll read this one. But in Matthew chapter 3, because it talks about John the Baptist. John doesn't really describe all this. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's preaching with water. It ain't no good. It's not going to do anything except get you wet. It will not save you. It will not get you resurrected. It won't do nothing for you. It just can't. Because our baptism is a different baptism. It's not the same as this. Okay. And then verse 11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah, he did. Whose fan is in his hand. And verses 12, let's skip verses 12. And this is verse 12. Verse 12 is about the second coming of Christ. It's about him coming with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, written up by Paul. Verse 13, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be now so, to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When John baptized him, Jesus Christ was halfway there, as far as the two things that had to happen to him in order to get resurrected back to see the Father. He had to die, of course, and do all that stuff, and spend 3 days and three nights in hell and get pulled up by the God the Father. But we're going to see later on that the Holy Spirit quickened him and made him alive. And that's what being reborn is all about. Because we just read a while ago in John that you have to be born of water and of these capital S Spirit. It didn't say little Spirit there. It's capital S Holy Spirit. Third person of God. He works for the Father. He did in this case. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. That's interesting. How much time we got? Not much. All righteousness, that includes our righteousness too, doesn't it? Of course it does. He's filling all righteousness for these Jews here, but he's also fulfilling righteousness for us in the future that hadn't even been born yet or Paul hadn't even preached the gospel about yet. But to fulfill all righteousness, he did what? He went to the cross. It's a faith of Christ that saves us. It's a faith of Christ that fulfills all righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Let's just read that real quick since I made the comment. Romans chapter 3. Is this like some of your classes in college they just go on real quick and the students have to keep up all the best they can?
Yes.
Okay.
Instead of keeping up,
They're not keeping up?
No.
These students here keep up pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done this before.
These are much better students.
These are much better students because they do what they rightly divide. So this righteousness by which we are saved, let's read about it. Let's first start in chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness
Congratulations,
of God,
you won.
Wow. The righteousness of God. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So we read back in Matthew chapter 3, he said, he shall fulfill all righteousness. This is some of the righteousness he fulfilled. He fulfilled it in the future for us. The gospel hadn't even been let out yet. It was a mystery, but he fulfilled the mystery of us having a salvation through the gospel of Christ. And Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for our justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all there is to it, nothing else. And in Romans 10:9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What are you believing in? You're believing in the resurrection. Wow. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Makes no difference. It's available to all. So he had to fulfill all righteousness to do. He fulfilled the righteousness that was required to have us saved. Wow. Okay. To me, that's a wow. To some people, they don't get too excited. Verse 16, back in Matthew chapter 3, I'm sorry. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, so he fulfilled one part of the requirement for the kingdom of God to get back into it. Does everybody see this? This is simple, but it's important. Water baptism ain't going to do it. Not for us. This is the kingdom of heaven, people here. We just read a while ago, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew chapter 19, 27, is what? Part of the kingdom of God. So when I want to get back into these kingdom of heaven folks, they get back into the kingdom of God, they have to fulfill the kingdom of God requirements, they have to be born again. So, we're going to go back to Colossians and flip over to Colossians chapter 1 first and see that he is the firstborn. Then we're going to go backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the reason I want to do that is because it says something here in Colossians about being the firstborn, and it means the same thing as being the first fruit. So in Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, the who there is God in chapter 1:13. Who, God, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The first one. That's all. So far. No one else has been resurrected that I know of. And if you all get your prayer rug out tomorrow morning at 11:54 and face it to the east and pray them bones over there, you'll be in big trouble. Because that's idolatry, folks. And that God is long dead. Anyway, so much for that. So Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn of every creature. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and tie it with the first fruit. He is the first fruit also. A fruit tree has a bunch of what? Pears. They have pears, right? They?
Absolutely.
Pear tree. Pear trees, and they're all pears. Well, have you picked pears before? Have you been in the grocery store and looked at pears? They ain't all the same, are they? All the same tree. Some are bigger around, some are taller, some are got blemishes in them, some of them birds have got to them and whatever. And heal back over. But they're all from the same tree. Body. It's all the body of Christ. It's all the same. So in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, the whole chapter is about, you know, it's got the gospel in it at first, and then it talks about Jesus Christ being first fruit, and then it goes into the resurrection and being changed from a natural body to a spiritual body, which we have to read in order to get this. The point is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start in, we'll start in verse 12, just because it's got some important information there. In 15:12, it's about Christ being the first fruit. It says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Amen to that, folks. If Christ didn't get raised up, we might as well go out here and pop open a six-pack. Because it'll do just about as much good. It's not going to do any good. Okay? Where'd we stop? In 14? Yeah. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." In other words, if he didn't get raised up, too bad, folks. We're just standing here doing nothing. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And the very next couple of three verses are very important to us. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his" what? "Coming." Wow. So when the Lord comes back and gets us out of here, he's going to do what? He's going to resurrect us. And then we're going to be joining the Lord, Jesus Christ, and have a body like his. Now, some are asleep and some are going to be alive when he comes back. So we're going to talk about that too. But I don't see so well without glasses. Okay. So let's jump down to verse 36. And I want to read this process that Paul talks about here, about changing from a natural body to a spiritual body, because we can't go like this. It's going to conclude with the fact that the kingdom of God, if you have a flesh and blood body, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go seek the Lord in flesh and blood. And then it says we're going to be changed. Okay. In verse 35, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Aha. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God give to the body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, bodies terrestrial. But the God, the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." Okay. Let's take a little side. Hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've got to cover this. Go to Acts chapter 2. Just remember something. It's not on my sheet, but we're going to have to do it anyway. It's got to do with corruption. Let's see if I can find it here. Yes. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. This is the cross reference here is Psalm 55, 15. If you don't know where it is, the cross reference. It says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In other words, Jesus Christ's body did not corrupt in the grave. It did not dissolve. Why do you think that is? It didn't have any sin in it, did it? He took the sins off to hell. Sins is what kills. Right? Okay, so Christ's body did not corrupt. Jump down 31. He seen this, and this is David talking in another psalm. I think it's Psalm 16, I'm not for sure. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Okay, one more place is Acts chapter 13, and it's going to talk about David there, which is real important. It shows us the correlation between mankind and Jesus Christ and the corruption of the body. Kind of an important thing to understand here. And the floor is squeaking, Chuck. Can you hear it? Chuck's asleep. Okay. Acts chapter 13. Chuck's not asleep. Hi, Chuck. Acts chapter 13, verse 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's resurrection day. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. In other words, he was not going to corrupt. He said unto this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and the body saw corruption. So that's what happens to human beings. They corrupt. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, in verse 37. So the body did not corrupt in the grave. What did he tell Mary Magdalene when he saw her, when he came up to him? Why do you think that was? Does that right. Exactly. So Jesus Christ's body did not rot in the grave. I would say if there was a body laying out here somewhere in a grave in June, like it's been this couple of last weeks, if it was after 2 days or 1 day and a half, it's going to be pretty bad. As a matter of fact, when we land a photo, we used to take and process film for the Sheriff's Department, DPS, the morgue in San Antonio, and I mean the pathologist in San Antonio that does the autopsies and a lot of other body parts and stuff. Pictures in 8x10, 11x4 means are very vivid. They show all the details. Well, sometimes up at Canyon Lake, about 20 years ago, there was a dumping area for the drug dealers in San Antonio for dead bodies. It was in Comal County. They dumped them out there because they got killed in Bear County. Or sometimes in Houston, they drive over here. Is that right, Cliff?
Absolutely.
They drive them over here and they dump them over there. Well, sometimes these folks would lie out there in that sun for a week, 3 or 4 days. Well, their body corrupted. I guarantee you. It looked like a roasted pig a lot of times. And it was all bad, okay? So the point is, our bodies do corrupt. I shouldn't have brought this up to you. But, I'm glad I wasn't a DPS guy or a deputy working for the SO, a sheriff's office or something like that, happened to do all that. It wasn't, sure, it was not a pleasant job. But the point is, Christ's body did not corrupt, and ours do. So we got to get out of here somehow. And we're on the way. So Jesus Christ is the first fruit, the firstborn of every creature. He's the first fruit, and we're going to be getting out of here at his coming. So that's when it happens. But how does it happen? We need to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there's lots of key points there. Not everything, but a lot of key points. Let's start in verse 44, 1544. we, or it, is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. So we'll be raised a spiritual body someday. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So they're separate, and they're different, and they don't mix. We can't go up there, that's for sure. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Wow. So you don't get it just because you belong to the club. You belong to the exclusive club of the body of Christ. That's how you get it. So we have to be baptized and we have to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Those two things. I said a while ago that Jesus Christ was baptized. That's condition number one to enter into the kingdom of God. Y'all remember the two conditions? The second condition is what?
Born again,
made alive by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go back to John. Hold on here. Go back to John chapter 3. I know I'm going to harp on this, but it's kind of important. So you have to straighten your mind and maybe you can tell somebody about the book next time. There's two things that Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus here. First of all, he tells him how you can see the kingdom of God. The next time he tells you what to do is to enter into the kingdom of God. Not the same thing. It's invisible. You can't see it. Not in our bodies. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know I'm going over this again and again, but that's important. That's the way it is. That's how I am. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born? So forth. Verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Holy Spirit, I put Holy Spirit in there, Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So those are the two conditions. In the case of Jesus Christ, he had to be water baptized. He was by John the Baptist. In the case of all those people back there, they got water baptized by apostles or whomever. That was their deal. Water baptism. That's their condition. Ours is a little bit different. Quite a bit different. Okay? And then they're quickened by the Holy Spirit. And then they'll be able to enter into the kingdom of God. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Yes. We've been spending quite a bit of time working kind of late at night. And so this water's a little bit thinner than what I've been normally drinking about this time. Something like that. It's not the same color either. Oh well, it does help the throat that's tickling like crazy. Okay, is everybody back in 1 Corinthians 15? So, in other words, we have to be born of what? A spiritual body. We have to change our body from natural to spiritual. So how's this all going to happen? Okay, and then in 15 he said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay. Somehow we're all going to get changed. When's it going to happen? At his coming, right? We just read it in verse 23. Every man in his own order, it says, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, the rapture. That's when we get born again, at the rapture. We shall all be changed. Okay. Yes. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Can everybody up there see the word if and print in little marks around? Okay. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Our bodies. I have a running argument with a particular preacher, and he doesn't believe this. He says this applies to everybody. It can't be the way I read it. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, okay, this entire package is called the tabernacle, okay? The body is the house. I hope everybody can see that. The way this is set up here, the tabernacle is the entire package. It's you sitting in your seat. It's the spirit of life that God gave you. It's your soul and your body, all in one thing. We're talking about the body dying here. Okay? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, do our bodies corrupt and dissolve? Yes, they do. If it were dissolved, is this a live person or a dead person? Dead person, right? Okay. This is a guarantee to people that pass away before the Lord comes back. This is their guarantee. If he came back instantly right now and we're sitting here talking, we're alive. We don't get, this is not our deal. We're reading about a dead person, is what this amounts to. Okay. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands. In other words, Jesus Christ, God made it. Where is it at? Eternal in the heavens. And then he goes on to talk about groaning and so forth. That's if you're dead. That's assuming you're going to die before this, the Lord comes back. If you're going to die before the Lord comes back, then the rest of the passage is about you. If you're not, well, groan anyway, but you're not going to get this, you're not getting the body from heaven. You groan all, I groan all I want to if the Lord came back now. I've been groaning for years. He's not bringing my body from heaven because I'm not dead. None of us in here are dead right now if he came back this instant. This passage is for a passed away person. Okay? I'm getting a little bit out of control here. My hair's not going up too bad. But anyway, this is the person that's passed away. He says we shall all sleep. Okay? These are people that are asleep. What about people that are alive? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us about us that are alive. Let me ask a question. For our conversation is in heaven. Is that a person alive or dead? If you're reading this and you're saying this, for our conversation is in heaven, are we alive or dead? You're alive, right? Okay, very good. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, excuse me. Y'all should know that. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm ranting and raving about a dead person in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I forgot to tell you to go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. This is about a person that's still alive when the Lord comes back. That's us here right now. For our conversation is in heaven, verse 20 it says. From whence also we look for the Savior. Did people look for anybody? No, they can't see nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he going to do? Paul says we're going to get changed according to 1 Corinthians 15:51. He says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that is a live person, not a dead person. And these people here...
Congratulations! You won!
...from heaven. Does everybody understand that? My point of view. If you don't agree with me, well, that's okay. The other preacher doesn't agree with me either, so that's okay. But the way I read 1 Corinthians 15:51, there's some alive and some asleep when the Lord comes back and we're all changed. Okay. When the Lord comes back is when? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is not very far. Turn to the right a couple of pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is what's commonly called the rapture, the catching up of the church. This is when it happens. Everybody there? We've read this passage a thousand times probably. Everybody's heard it before. But let's look and see what it says. 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So if you're asleep in the Lord, you're all set. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is your deal. Verse 1. That ye sorrow not which have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's not going to leave anybody behind on the earth. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You can't even go to the hospital and tell the doctor what to do to keep somebody from dying. How are you going to stop somebody from getting resurrected? Impossible. 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the what? Clouds. You think that's very significant? I do. Clouds are very significant. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see how significant those clouds are. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're almost out of here. I've got about 10 more minutes, maybe 7 or 8. Paul is writing a passage here about Israel and about something called clouds. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the what? Cloud. And all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Uh-oh. Does that mean we're going to get baptized in those clouds? That's exactly what it means. Clouds are water, aren't they? And all did eat the same spiritual drink, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank the spiritual, and so forth and so on. So the point is here what? The clouds are our baptism, the location of when it happens. We get baptized in those clouds. Jesus Christ had a special one. John baptized. John Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. Now, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be what? He had to be quickened.
What did you just say?
Go ahead.
In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're baptized by one Spirit.
Yes, we are.
And that's when we're saved.
That's correct.
That's the baptism of salvation. This is the baptism of getting us
in entering into the kingdom of God, being born again.
Okay.
Remember, verse 1 Corinthians 15, what, 23? Was it 23? No. Yeah, 23. 1 Corinthians 15, 23, it says what? We're going to be what? We're going to be resurrected, or be the additional fruit at when? At his coming. This is it. This is when he comes back to get us out of here. So it occurs. All the additional fruit from the body of Christ are added to the tree by Jesus Christ at his coming. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15. So this is it. This, what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that is the first coming. That is Jesus Christ coming for us. And the reason I want to show you chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians is because it shows you that Christ, or God, Christ, who did it here, out there, baptized those Israelites under the cloud and in the sea. He used the cloud for baptism. Well, that correlates exactly to what go back to 1 Thessalonians. That correlates perfectly to that. That's our baptism. Here's the clouds. If you ever wonder why we're going to see them in the clouds, that's the reason. For baptism.
I think you better be real careful when you say that, because you're talking about saying that's our baptism. That may be our baptism is in the kingdom of God.
Right.
That's not our baptism.
It is not our baptism for salvation.
And people that don't understand all this history that we've been privileged to hear here, they're not going to hear what you just said.
Probably not. You're right. We are. Okay. Well, Dick alluded to it a while ago. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
The point you're making is by going through the cloud, that was part of the process of the being born again of the Spirit and of the water.
That's correct. To enter into the kingdom of God to see the Lord.
Okay.
okay? Dick was talking about a different baptism, a spiritual baptism. I'm talking about a water baptism here that the Lord's going to perform on us.
So you're saying that the verse that Christ quoted to Nicodemus, said to Nicodemus, the man must be born of water, is...
And of the Spirit.
Is the baptism of water.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Now, you know, I've questioned a certain pastor about that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes no sense to me to say a man must be born of water in the womb. Because everybody is.
Yeah, he said, can a man enter a second time and be, you know, he even asked if he could do it. Of course, he can't.
Right.
It's not a physical being born of a woman.
Yeah.
We're talking about a spiritual being born of God.
Yeah. So you're saying no matter what the inheritance, everyone must be born of water.
If they're going to go in the kingdom of God, they're going to have to go through the process somehow. Because I can't get us or anybody else in there unless they go through this process. It has to be. I can't see it. Jesus Christ Himself had to do it. Okay. So we got the water behind us. I did not talk. talk about the spiritual baptism that Dick's talking about. He's talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn it real quick. This
I'm talking about the confusion that people
yes,
have.
I agree.
Spirit and water baptism.
Right.
And nothing divides.
Right.
The denominations that cover.
I know.
Baptism. I think that's a real.
It's a real.
A real point that you got to be very careful.
I agree 100%. Not no argument. I'm kind of loose with what I say sometimes, and it gets me in lots of trouble. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is a spiritual baptism that happens to everybody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. In verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is spiritual. He didn't dunk us in water. Yet we have not been in the clouds yet. This is for our salvation in order to get there, in order to be saved. This is not for a lost person. This is not a lost person. Lost person, this has not happened to him yet. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So this is a spiritual baptism Dick is talking about at the time of salvation. The instant you what? Trust the Lord, what happens? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and you are spiritually baptized. Spiritually, not water-wise. This is for your salvation. Just assures you, this assures you that you will see the Lord someday. He's taking care of the process.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What would happen if we were resurrected and caught up on a clear day with no clouds?
I think the Lord has it figured out. So in other words, on a clear day,
I'll answer that question. That clear day that you say that there are no clouds, if that air is disturbed, moisture becomes visible. Moisture is in that air, whether you see it or not. And an example of that is your jet trail.
Right.
Okay? So, that...
Yes, there. I suspect when the Lord comes back to get us, He'll figure out how to get us in the clouds. You know, He'll find a cloud or two to put us in or something. Okay. I said a while ago that Jesus Christ was quickened, okay, by what? The Holy Spirit? Just like we're going to be, we need to find in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and talk about Christ here real quick. And we'll see that He is, since He was already resurrected. Um, There's one verse here. I don't want to read the whole passage and so forth, but this is one verse. In 1 Peter 3:18, the time is running out here. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Okay? Instantly he was quickened by the Spirit, the key got stuck in the lock, and he was able to enter into the kingdom of God. What about us? Does anybody remember any scripture about us being quickened by the Holy Spirit? Well, there's one in Romans. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's start in verse 10. 8:10. We'll skip some of our stuff here. In Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, did the Spirit raise up Jesus from the dead?
Yes,
we already read it. So, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by what? His Spirit, capital S, that dwelleth in you. Wow. So now you've entered into the kingdom of heaven, our kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. So that meets the two conditions for us to be born again, to enter into the kingdom of God. So, we never did. I don't think we finished 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know we didn't. I kind of stopped on the clouds and left it hanging there. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 17 again. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the asleep people, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow. Comfort one another. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That is very comforting to me. It's very peaceful to know that someday the Lord's getting us out of here. And that's how he's going to do it. In the clouds, he's going to wet us down, and then the Holy Spirit's going to quicken us and change our bodies. Because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God, according to Paul. Remember Jesus Christ. When he came back, if we go back to John, we read three passages there, and then Luke and so forth, but what? He said, touch me and so forth and whatever. You what? It's flesh, and Jesus Christ and his body was flesh and bone. And if we went to, I think, Luke chapter 24 and so forth, 36, 39, whatever it is, it says that he did what? He ate honeycomb and fish. In John chapter 19 and three places, 20 and 21 in three places, he appeared through walls. So obviously the spiritual body that we're going to get in the kingdom of God is not like this one here. I mean, you can see it, feel it, and touch it, but yet you can I don't know how it works. Beam me up, Mr. Scotty doesn't quite do it. Any questions about all this? That's about all I've got.
Now, what do you see when Christ came out of hell and Mary didn't recognize? Why do you think she did not recognize?
Well, the body did not corrupt, but that means it couldn't. I don't know. I don't know. I have never been able to put my finger on why she didn't recognize him.
Well, one guy that I've heard teaches that his body still, it did not bear the marks of the cross that she had seen when he went away.
No, I wouldn't believe that.
I didn't know if I could buy that
or not. I don't buy that at all. Because he told Thomas, he said, "What? Feel my side, and so go put your hands in."
Yeah, after that.
After that, of course. Yes, ma'am.
I have a next question.
He didn't want Mary to touch him because she had sin on her body until he ascended. But once he came down and people touched him, he had sin on his body. So why could he go back up?
But yet his body had not been glorified.
If
you mimic, I will
tell you last
39 years. We already know that.
I'm glad it wasn't here.
I think I'll be there tomorrow.
Who teaches that Bible class?
Him.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me get something straight in my mind here. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:1. Did I understand you to say that that house that comes down, that's not going to be for the people that were alive when he comes?
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I've heard that before, but would you explain why that is the case? I mean, our bodies have to be changed.
Okay.
But if the people who are already dead, they have to be changed as well, because their body's corrupt. I mean, you know, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, they get a house. What if, supposing the rapture comes and I'm still here, what do I get? What do I...
Okay, the answer,
how come I don't get a house?
You do. The answer is in Philippians chapter 3. Let's read it again. Seriously, the answer is in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Good question, Dick. Does the Thursday night Bible teacher have an answer for that?
No, but when it's not there, we'll wear it.
Sir.
He's been using that excuse since early 80s.
What excuse is that?
That we weren't ready for it yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. If we go back, we don't have to go back, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:51, what does it say? Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's all. Okay, that means a person, that their body has dissolved away, it's corrupt and it's gone. The Lord has to provide a body for it. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that means it's passed away. We have a building of God, right? Not with hands eternal in the heavens.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, this is alive people.
Okay.
I mean, I can't read any way. Dead people can't read. Well, you might have been you. Anyway, this is for a person that's alive. For our conversation. Alive people have conversations. Not dead people. Is in heaven. We talk about heaven all the time. I do. The people, if I'm witnessing to them, I tell them I want to go. I'm going to heaven someday. Okay, that's where our conversation is. From whence also? What's that mean? We're also looking. We're looking for what? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what's He going to do? Who shall change our vile body?
Okay.
That's what we have. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you know that that's going to change with his house?
Because we're not dead. We're not dead.
Back
to the end?
No, it's back to that diagram before. What is the tabernacle?
The tabernacle is the entire body.
Right.
The entire being.
Right.
That's why I put it on the edge of the circle here. It's the body, the soul, and the spirit makes up the tabernacle. The body is called the house in the passage.
Yeah.
Right.
So, if my literal mind is hearing you correctly, the people who are dead at the rapture, they get a house. And then there's going to be a group of people who are not dead. What about them?
They're going to get their body changed. That may be fashioned like unto God, Jesus Christ's glorious body, just like we read here in verse 21.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let me change.
Why can't it be?
Yeah.
Because the passage says if our body was just hold on to Philippians and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't run across some other preachers in here tonight. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, remember, we got some Thursday night Bible students in here, man.
I know. But see, if y'all already have been through this, there shouldn't be any questions.
We're advanced.
Harry just said Sunday that he was going to have to teach this again.
What, this stuff here?
All this.
I guarantee it.
Every time
I'm not going to guarantee nothing. I'm going to be quiet.
More questions about it.
Okay, we're presently reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is David in the grave. We said, remember, we read that his body corrupted. They're dead. Okay, so that's the condition. It's a dead person here.
Dead.
Not alive. Dead. What's he say then? We have a building of God, and house not made with hands. And where is it? Eternal in the heavens. The Lord's already... He knows who's going to pass away before takes us all out of here.
He's going to bring whatever it takes to...
That's right. That's right. Whatever he pulls up out of here, soul or spirit, and you can't prove really very well what it is. He's going to... It's going to go back in that... It's going to make a being again.
Right. Because the body has...
The body is corrupted. It's gone. That's what this passage is. This is not a live person here. It means dead.
So you think that excludes people who are alive?
Pardon?
Do you think that excludes people who are alive?
Well, unless they die before the Lord comes back. And if, you know, if I pass away before the Lord comes back, even though I'm reading this passage right now, Philippians chapter 3 applies to me if he comes back instantly right now. What if it's 20 years and I'm gone? Well, then chapter 5, verse 1 applies. That's all I'm saying.
I guess I'm confused is about the fact that if we're the body of Christ, how can some people have a house and others don't? If we're one body.
That we're all members spiritually. We're not there yet. We're not the fruit. The fruit has not been.
Body and the raptured body.
I'm sorry.
You trying to say there's a difference between the resurrection body and the raptured body?
Same.
That's the question.
Yeah.
The question is there a difference between a raptured body and resurrection? No, it's not. It's the same body. Born again occurs when we're raptured out of here. We'll be born again because we met the two conditions of being born again. Born of water and of the Holy Spirit. Quickly by the Holy Spirit.
If you don't change our body, would he change it like one of those in the room?
I guess. It says unto his glorious body, doesn't it?
And was he bringing of those who are resurrected?
I'm glad we're going to have a body that looks like his, or, you know. He calls himself the first fruit. Fruit trees, I mean, a fruit tree has fruit on it. They're all pears, or they're all apples. They're all of one kind. They don't look the same necessarily. You examine them. You stand back a couple hundred feet and you can't tell. Especially with my eyes, I can't even see the clock. Okay, I guess I call it controversy.
If that was Jerry teaching, I would say, well, why not write tomorrow and we'll decide what this is going to be.
If I didn't have to go to the doctor tomorrow, we would ride tomorrow.
Why not figure this out?
Okay.